Rockauto.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is strongly advised. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Just in case you've forgotten,
the boss is back.
You were an ass long before I made one out of you.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Looking older and more wicked than ever.
I knew he wouldn't disappoint us.
Mace.
This show reminds me of a 25-cent cigar.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
Because it's cheap and it stinks.
Omega.
Just when you think this show is terrible, something wonderful happens.
What?
It ends.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Well, that sure made us LOL.
Laugh out loud?
No, lose our leg.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Joe.
I'm in five halls of fame. I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That's it, you sick shit. Suck it!
I just thank God that there are people like yourself come out to see the American dream, because when I was growing up, I sure didn't think 265 pounds of blue-eyed soul would captivate a country like I have. The people drive me.
The greatest sports attraction in the world today, the little plumber's son who come out of the ditch and became so sweet.
You know how to give and how to take.
Yeah, you dig it.
You see every hope I locked away. So pull me close and surrender to my heart.
Dusty Rhodes has just become the world heavyweight wrestling champion. The fans beginning to clamor inside the ring.
So pull me close and surrender to my heart.
I admit I don't look like the athlete of the day supposed to look. My belly is just a little big. My heart is just a little big. But brother, I am bad and they know I'm bad.
So come on.
We want Dusty.
Into a raging fire.
And hard times are when a man works a job for 30 years. 30 years. Yeah. And they give him a watch.
Hey, it don't matter where you're going to be next year, Johnny Damon. Oh, 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 oh.
There are some weird people here.
Who? I have noticed.
So it is a great honor, especially standing here with my brother, to induct our father.
And now I am so proud to present you our father, the American dream, Dusty Rhodes.
If the plane goes out tonight, let your heart be next to mine. For the plane goes out tonight.
We don't have to talk about what I've done or where I've been. You've met my two sons. I'm so proud of them. One thing is for sure, though, when you go back and you look at our industry, you look at passion. The passion I have for this industry is why I'm still here.
In our future years, we're the next team, the next generation.
Get a dream, hold on to it, and shoot for the sky. I have been to the mountaintop, and it will take a hell of a man to knock me off. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand. Reach it out.
Into a raging drive.
So this is the American dream. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Who wined and dined with kings and queens. He held court in the back of a pickup truck. He was the American dream, Dusty Rhodes. And it's a shame he's no longer with us. Anyway, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And for now, just joining me is the one, the only, Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And, yeah, of course, kicking off with WWE's excellent tribute to the late, great Dusty Rhodes. Hitting you right in the feels, I guess you can say. But, you know, it's Dusty. You can't just, like, carry on without paying homage.
Those last,
if you will, if you, to the man.
Those last 10 seconds, like...
Just, oh, right, absolutely, yeah. In emotions.
It's like, I want to know where they found that 10 seconds at. It wasn't in a... It was not in, at an arena show. It was, like, down at NXT, probably during a class. It's like, wow.
Well, it could have, like, you know... How old did Dusty look when he delivered that now classic... You know, after Thursday Classic line.
I don't know, but yeah. That just killed you right there. It was like, wow. It was the same feels you got when from the Warrior speech after he died.
Yeah.
It was one of those, ooh, they just tug right at your heartstrings. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, you know, Warrior was a lot more ironic and freaky.
Yeah.
But... when you've had as long and storied a career as the American Dream did, right. You're going to wind up with tidbits that you can use for just about anything at any point in time.
Yeah, you really are.
And they found this one. I mean, geez, happy trails until we meet again.
Ooh, it was just, ooh, gotcha. It got you right there.
And I'm like, aw, man.
And then they had to play it again during the show. It was like, oh, man.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking maybe they played it twice, not just because, you know, it's Dusty and they're paying tribute, but they played it a second time because of all the people on social media.
That, and one was on the pre-show, and this was actually the show.
Yeah, you know, and as much as we're missing Dusty, and it's a very sad thing to have lost him, you know, 69 years old. I mean, like, you guys make jokes and, you know, call me old man and stuff like that. I'm a long way away from 69. Yeah. And everybody I talk to, fans of wrestling, he's only 69. I mean, like, gone way too soon, way too young to kick off the mortal coil. Now, here's the thing about it. I'm about to shoot on wrestling fans, and I know you're in my corner on this one.
Okay. Yeah, I know where you're going.
because you actually brought it up to me, and then I went and I took a look at Twitter. And I actually responded to one fan who basically bitched out Triple H. So I responded to her. Now, as everybody who doesn't live under a rock has it figured out, SmackDown is taped on Tuesday night. It is then shipped off to the networks before 6 a.m. Wednesday. And the Canadian network that shows it up here in Canada used to be called The Score. It's now Sportsnet 360. They show it Wednesdays.
Right.
And the United States of America gets it on Thursday. Now, reports are saying that Dusty passed at 6 a.m.
That's incorrect.
Okay. What are the correct reports?
He fell at his home and ambulance was called at 6 a.m. He was taken to the hospital at that point.
Okay. He fell, hurt himself, and was taken to hospital at 6 a.m.
He was taken to hospital at 6 a.m. He passed at some point in the afternoon on Thursday.
Possibly about 2 o'clock Mountain Time.
No, 2 Eastern. About 2 Eastern.
Okay, 2 o'clock Eastern Time.
Yeah.
Now, people ad infinitum were going on like crazy. It's disrespectful. There's nothing on SmackDown. How come no tribute? You could have thrown something up, blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing, kids. I'm sure the majority of the hardcore fans that listen to us understand this. The show was in the terms of the business, not the wrestling business, but the television industry or the movie industry, the video industry. The show was in the can, meaning it was done, it was produced, it was shipped off. Now, once it gets to sci-fi, or here in Canada, didn't really matter too much, but, Sportsnet 360.
Right.
It's out of WWE's hands. Also, with everything that goes on at a TV network, studio, what have you, and I speak from experience. I was born into a media family, a radio and a TV family. I made my television debut at the tender age of 2. I was on television regularly as a kid growing up because my dad ran a TV station, okay? Don't think that I'm just like, well, this is probably what happened. No, this is fact. These are the facts. This is what happened, all right? The network, the TV studio, whatever, gets a hold of this. It gets put in the queue and left. And everything is controlled nowadays by computer. You have a person sitting at the switches, but everything, once it's all locked and loaded, you can't do anything about it. No, they were not able to even throw up a graphic for Dusty. They did not have time. Now, had Dusty unfortunately passed away on Tuesday,
or even Wednesday early.
Well, not for Canada, but for the United States.
For the United States version, if it was Wednesday about noon, they probably
could have gotten a graphic to the network. The problem is, things are not like, okay, well, we'll insert this, we'll insert that, we'll insert this, we'll insert that. They would have had to add that as an extra. Right. Networks don't have editing capabilities like your studio does that actually does this. There would have been a noticeable, jaggy gap had it happened. But it was simply impossible for anything to have been done Thursday. And it's like I told this girl, she's obviously somebody living in the United Kingdom. She just tore a strip off of Triple H. So I explained it to her. Not possible. Well, I still could have done it. No, they couldn't have still done it. Trust me, they're going to give them a send-off on Sunday. So as soon as they did, I tweeted her back and said, I told you, just because, that's what I do. I like to rub it in somebody's face.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Well, when they deserve to have it rubbed in their faces, yes, I do enjoy rubbing it in their face.
And if you think about it, this is WWE.
You
give that. Would you rather them throw something together last minute and try and scramble if they even could get it on the air?
Are you going to make me actually answer that question?
No, or would you rather have them spend 3 days and here you go, awesome tribute? I'm just saying.
Like I said, do you really want me to, do I need to answer that question?
No, I was really just throwing it out there.
They say there's no stupid questions, but that falls pretty damn close. And I know you're just saying as a rhetorical and stuff like that. But, If it was a genuine question, fuck, that would be stupid.
Yeah, it wasn't a genuine question. It's just like, and from all accounts, Friday, they got right on it. Ric Flair was down in Florida. A bunch of other people came to Full Sail, and they were taping stuff, and we're going to see a special tomorrow night, right after Raw, on the network, a whole tribute to Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
That's going to... You know,
well, yeah, you think this tribute tonight was something. Wait. Just wait.
You know how Ric Flair gets. He's probably going to tear
more
up...
More Dusty stories.
He's going to tear up a lot.
And at this point in time, I would like to welcome to the conversation the guy we've been waiting for, the late Mace thing.
Yes, I'm late because Bethesda decided to blow my socks off and rape my wallet.
There you go. We were talking about Dusty. What was your reaction to all the news?
Initially, it was a what the fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, it was very weird because of the way, you know, timing happened. As I was going to bed was when the news of Christopher Lee and his death broke. I wake up to hear about the death of Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there thinking on both and going, man, that's just fucked up in within 12 hours. Yet, it's like, all right, where's the third thing? You know, we always hear this shit comes in threes. Where's the third?
Yeah. So we're just waiting for the third shoe to drop, as it were.
Well, to help you, there were more than two celebrity deaths this week, so hashtag blame Rob. Anyway.
Blame Rob got a goddamn workout this week.
He did.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's a sad thing. Not to sound like the Lion King, but it's part of the circle of life.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, Dusty's one of those guys that you wonder, you know, he's one of those guys you think would be around forever and a day.
Yeah.
You know, and just to hear that happen, fuck, man. It's one of those ones where you'll always remember, like, where you are. It's like, you know, when Savage died and shit, you know. I really don't have much to say about it besides I'm just shocked.
Well, I'm not in the same, quite in the same ballpark. I can't say I'm shocked. I mean, my first response to Rock when he told me is I was at work and he texted me. My first response, one single word, shit.
Yeah, I can quote that. That is actually true. That is what he said.
Yeah, mine was a Ron Simmons style damn.
Yep. Which I think that's the same ballpark. Oh, you know, what was really nice about the tribute that WWE put together and that we replayed the audio of at the top of the broadcast, they just got into the, and it was almost like, I don't know, it just had the feeling of attending one of those Southern Baptist churches where everybody gets into it and they're singing and they're clapping and everything and the crowd. And it was like, it's sad. He's dying. We're not mourning. We're celebrating that we had him with us.
Right.
It's that music, man. It's Dusty's music. You can't help but sort of bop along and dance along to it.
Yeah.
You know, that was the magic of his music was... The second you hear, you know, that cowbell ring three times, man, and it just gets funky. You can't help it. Like, I was watching the crowd at the start of the show, like, all the guys on the ramp, and you're seeing Titus O'Neil, you know, dancing in place as the music's playing and shit. Mm-hmm. And that's what you expect, you know, that's the type of guy Dusty was.
Well, there were more than a few of the workers on the stage bobbing their heads.
Yeah.
Damn sure.
Oh, yeah. I felt really bad for Renee Young during the pre-show when they first aired this tribute video.
No.
She had to come out, and she was doing a voiceover, trying to send it to the next thing, or send it backstage, and she was just blubbering, crying, and everything. I just felt so bad for her.
She was just barely able to get everything out. She was just so emotional.
Yeah, because you could tell she was crying a minute before and still was crying, and it's like, you have to talk now.
Like, yeah, and I'm like, damn, Renee.
Right? It's like,
in a bad way, but in an empathetic way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if the package didn't get you, it was her crying over it just would have got you.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, so.
By the way, the Reynolds family has asked that if you would like to honor Dusty Rhodes, you can donate to Connor's Cure or Joe Torre's Safe at Home Foundation. That's how, if you want to make a donation on the behalf of the Reynolds family for Dusty. That's what they've asked for.
Now, by doing, like making a donation or a contribution, you're able to specify it's on behalf of Dusty.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I just wanted to clarify that, as a lot of people don't realize that they can do things like that.
Yeah, that's what they are asking for. You can go to ConnorTheCrusher.com or JoeTory.org to make donations.
So, yeah. That being said, it's time we launch into the review of the pay-per-view.
Let's take a break. Come back and get all into it.
We can do that.
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll take our one break of the evening. Come back. Dive
in. Oh, wait a minute. This is our only break of the night?
Yeah, this is our only break of the night. Let's dive in.
You know what that means?
Yeah, I know. It's already
okay.
It's already set. We're gonna dive into the pay-per-view when we get back. Cover everything.
Sounds fair. Everybody listen, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, when we're done with the review, stick around. Don't go anywhere, because we will announce the winner of Pick'em, and the winner of Pick'em is actually going to win something.
Ooh.
We'll be back right after this.
You know, you can't be too quick to judge somebody. You might end up with your foot in your mouth. You can't judge an apple by looking at a tree. You can't judge a honey by looking at the bee. You can't judge a daughter by looking.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangoing, yes, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, and what's up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena sucks.
No, you didn't.
Okay. You're great.
Great. I love these picks.
Sup, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel O'Brien, of course.
Yeah!
why didn't I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Sure. Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel O'Brien yes. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to tame the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he picked the snake charmer. No. No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year, Sub.
Fuck, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations, you picked the winning one. Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get wrong? Can I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
All right. So you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Down.
I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
thinking something disconnected from my brain.
I ain't taking calls. I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
And welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's the pay-per-view review show. Can we still call them pay-per-views, or do we have to start calling them special events?
They were going crazy tonight by calling them a special event. So
They were going crazy tonight calling them special events, so
it might be the end of the pay-per-view era officially now. They may be just special events.
Interesting. Weddy, interesting.
So.
Yeah. So, of course, everything kicks off with the standard pre-show free view. Just reading in the chat room, Bowman. Let's talk Bethesda. Skip the Money in the Bank talk. Well, there are people tuned in and want to talk about wrestling, so maybe...
This is Russell Talk Radio.
Not Bethesda Talk Radio.
Yeah.
BTR, yeah, right. By the way, this is the original... The one and only, the real WTR. If you come across anything that's called Wrestling Talk Radio, they're in a lot of trouble. And just ignore them. Don't buy any of their merchandise or shit. That being said, let's talk about the review.
So, Tim, apparently, according to R-Truth, dressing up is fun.
Dressing up is fun?
That's what he said. He said, dressing up is fun.
Well, if he wants to play dress up, let him.
I just shook my head when he said it. It's like, oh, R-Truth, so special.
It's, well, what do you expect? It's truth.
It is R-Truth.
Truth, mice, or whatever. I don't know.
And then Wade Barrett was wearing something. I guess they got him new King gear, I guess. I don't know.
No, he was wearing something that harkens back to the Middle Ages, and it's like a vest. I think the actual term is vestment that royalty back in the Middle Ages used to wear. It just looked really ridiculous with his wrestling gear.
Yeah, it did.
If he was wearing chainmail, he could have gotten away with it over top of the chainmail.
But then he would have been Scott Steiner. We don't need another Scott Steiner.
No, I was actually thinking more like Game of Thrones, because like the season finale's on tonight.
Yeah, I heard a lot of stuff went down.
Say nothing, goddammit. Because if you do, I'll sue you.
Well, I heard everything. It doesn't mean I remember everything, but I heard everything.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I was told everything that happened. Anyway.
So the Freeview match is R-Truth versus King Barrett.
R-Truth actually won.
He stole the victory. He got it with a crucifix pin. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it was like, what? What happened to him?
And, of course, King Kittens made some kind of insightful comment about how important and meaningful winning King of the Ring is turning out to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, shit went down. Enough said.
Pretty much. He's becoming more of a ridiculous King of the Ring. I thought King Sheamus was bad. Apparently King Barrett is trying to top that in the worst way. It's like, King Sheamus bad, King Barrett even worse.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God. Good job on you and all this other stuff, I guess. But it made no sense to me to give Truth any kind, you know, the victory. The victory.
Yeah, I'm with you. Someone back there must love R-Truth.
I don't think that Mace was able to. I don't think that he was available to catch the pre-show.
No, I wasn't able to catch the pre-show tonight. I had to quickly run down to the bank this morning to put money in my account, which is now gone.
There you go. It's already, yeah, you spent it.
King Kins goes, hell, even King Mabel won. King Mabel got a title shot right after he won King of the Ring, so...
There you go. You know, I mean, I remember the old days when King of the Ring actually did mean something, and it led to something bigger if you won it.
It made Owen Hart's career.
Yeah. I mean, Bret won it twice.
Bret won it twice.
Booker. You had to love Booker's reign.
Booker's reign was interesting.
King Booker. All of a sudden, he shows up with his fake British accent. What the hell, man?
All hell, King Booker.
Uh-huh.
We finally get our first real British man since William Regal to hold King of the Ring, and it's just the fucking jerk.
Yep.
I don't get it.
This is what we're collectively saying. I mean, it's just, oh my God. And, okay, you know, if it was somebody of note that beat Barrett, no offense against R-Truth, but he's not somebody of note. He's just a member of the roster. That's all there is to it.
The only person R-Truth has beaten in the last month has been King Barrett twice.
So.
Says something.
Yeah, just a note to all the tough enough contestants that do make the final 12.
13.
Or final 13? I thought it was 12. I don't know. Don't enter King of the Ring because it'll bury you.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
It will bury you and you will be buried and shit like this. Anyway.
Anyway.
So, with that going on, did Kyle Edwards tweet something from his iPhone?
Oh, I took a note by copying his tweet. Winners of the Money in the Bank contract have held the briefcase an average of 96 days. I thought that was an interesting stat.
That's average?
Yeah.
How many times has Money in the Bank been cashed in the same night? Twice or just once?
Once by Kane.
And that was by Kane, so, yeah. I'm kind of surprised. I was thinking that because of the way the pay-per-view kicked off, we'd have a cash-in tonight.
Well, if a certain person won it, yeah, we would have thought it, but he didn't, so.
Yeah, but of course, before everything got going here, we had that absolutely awesome Dusty tribute. Everybody felt bad for Renee, and it's spelled with one E, not two, by the way.
No, it is spelled with two.
No, it's spelled with one E.
No, it's spelled with two.
No, it's spelled with one. I don't care how she spells it, it's spelled with one E.
Okay, she spells it with two E's, I'm just telling you.
I'm just saying, whatever. Just having fun, relax.
God. Anyway.
Yeah, so yeah, talking about how the pay-per-view started off, we actually had the Money in the Bank match first. How many times has this happened?
Money in the Bank. We're going to Wikipedia to find out.
You're Googling it.
Well, when they've had a single, I don't think it's ever happened. However, when they've had like two or three on the show...
That's different, of course.
It's weird because it's Money in the Bank. That's meant to be the attraction. That's meant to be what brings people to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you put it on fucking first.
Yeah. And
it's like saying, you know, oh, welcome to WWE Royal Rumble. Let's get the Royal Rumble done first so we can put on Divas matches, tag matches, and maybe a title match at the end.
Yeah, there you go. Well, here's the thing. Now, it was mentioned to me in our pay-per-view chat that they're putting it on first because it's a ladder match, and so is the main event is a ladder match. Yeah, fine. Money in the Bank, you could have held that at the end of the first hour, top of the second hour.
Usually, or at least last year they did it second. Usually it's either the second, first or second match on the show.
Because it's like Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Oh, I'm sorry, special event.
Yeah.
It should not be the first goddamn match. No, I don't think it should be the main event, because then that automatically rules out the winner potentially cashing in the same night. It should not be the semi-main event, because that's just too soon. but it should, seriously, it should kick off the top of the second hour of a three-hour show.
But with John Cena no longer in that main event, that's become his spot.
Screw that. I don't care.
That's become the John Cena spot these days.
We'll talk about John Cena later on in the review. And okay. Boy, we'll have a lot to say.
Yeah, we will. okay, in your opinion then, what should it open the show? Looking at the card from top to bottom, what would you open with?
Believe it or not, John Cena, Kevin Owens.
Really? Okay.
Yes, I would have opened it with them.
See, I had no problem with them opening with the Money in the Bank match just because coming in, it was really, really predictable.
Yeah, well, Mace, what match would you have opened it up with?
I probably would have gone something that was going to put us to sleep anyway, Big Show versus Ryback. Get that snore fest out of the way early so we can concentrate on better shit.
Well, there you go. I mean, I can understand that. I know where you're coming from, and I understand your thought processes with that match. But we'll talk about that when we get to it. Of course, the winner of Money in the Bank surprised, I do believe, absolutely everybody.
Just about.
Except Mace.
Except Mace.
Bugger was the only one of everybody playing Pick'em who actually picked them.
And who was that one?
Yeah, doubt it, motherfuckers.
Everybody else is picking Roman Reigns because we're all figuring it out, you know, and I was mentioning in last week's show I might wind up picking Ziggler even though I went with Reigns. We had one person, two people pick Ziggler.
And did I talk you into Sheamus last week?
Yeah, don't mind me. I'll just put the script down, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm guilty of calling you the mole for this week.
I think King Kins was the mole because he called an angle later.
Well, no, Mace got the title of mole, and King Kittens was told to put the script down. That's different.
There you go.
Yes. People are like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Anyway, this was a lot better than I thought it would be going in.
Money in the Bank match?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, it wasn't a bad match, but then again, matches like this, by their very definitions, are clusters to begin with.
But they contain the cluster, I think is the best way to put it.
It was an organized clusterfuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is probably the best way to describe it. You know, they beat up on the black men, that's fine, and they just decided to kill each other. Okay.
Kofi was used as the lawn dart again this year.
Surprise, surprise. And the black man early on tried to steal the belt while no one was looking, but everyone went, we see you. We see you. We're going to kill you now.
So, yeah. a couple of good spots in the match. Of course, you're expecting some absolute head turners and like oh my god moments, but I don't really think we got a holy shit moment.
We had multiple RKOs, which was was fun. Though Jerry Lawler says we've never seen this RKO just like this before, where he already yanks the guy off and goes into the RKO.
Speaking of RKO, kudos and props to Neville for taking it the way he did.
Yeah, yeah. But the one where Jerry Lawler was talking it up was like, you called the spot last year. I watched it earlier. You called the same spot last year. It was Cesaro taking it. Never seen it before. I saw it.
I haven't seen it for a whole year. Well, there you go.
He pulled him by the leg into an arc. Oh, yeah, saw that spot before. A good spot. Seen it before, King. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Well, yeah, but you're not supposed to remember that shit, so stop it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I watched the network. Oops. My bad. Everyone played the part well, I would say.
Uh-huh.
We had a nice red arrow onto Sheamus after he came crashing down off the ladder from the zigzag, which looked like it hurt coming down that point. Roman Reigns did the big dive onto everyone. And then here came the New Day.
New Day sucks.
They were coming up to help their boy, Kofi.
New Day sucks.
Rowan got rid of the New Day.
Thank you, Rowan.
He powerbombs Kofi onto everyone. Spear to Orton. Goes up to climb. Climb, climb, climb. Cue Bray Wyatt. He shows up. Knocks Reigns off the ladder. Sister Abigail. It's left to Sheamus in the ring. He starts to climb. You have Neville. And while Neville got yanked off by his hair, Sheamus is money in the bank.
Yeah, I'm bloody believable. And talk about, hey, putting to rest. What did you say in chat, Mace? About the
I
Roman
said something
Reigns
in chat.
Something about Roman Reigns rumors about, you know, Roman.
Great way to squash Roman Reigns getting a push rumors by putting him up against Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, so that's the program we can expect from Roman Reigns leading into SummerSlam is a feud with Bray.
In 5 weeks, they announced it will be at Battleground, Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns.
So, there you go.
Yeah, but we've still got another 3 pay-per-views between now and then.
There is that special on the network on July 4th. Just saying.
There you go. Yeah. It's just, why did Sheamus win?
Well, if you look at everyone in the match...
Fella!
If it wasn't going to be Roman... Sheamus was the logical choice after him.
Got to give it to Rocksteady. He's got a movie to promote soon.
What movie is he promoting again?
He's
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's promoting another movie that I have absolutely no intention or desire to go see.
Because, again, Kofi wasn't going to win. Kane wasn't going to win. Orton wasn't going back in the title picture. It was down to Neville or Sheamus at that point, and Money Bank's better on a heel, so...
I wouldn't have had problems if Orton won it.
But we've done that.
I don't care. There have been other people who have won Money in the Bank more than once.
Okay.
Or twice.
Edge.
There you go.
Well, Edge technically won it, like, once and then stole the other one. It's like, hey, Mr. Kennedy, I'm going to take your briefcase now because you got hurt. Oh, you're not as hurt as you were? Oops, my bad.
Now you are.
Oops, you're not hurt? Oh, I'm still keeping your briefcase. Sorry about that.
There you go.
I love that. I remember that one. I was like, yeah, Mr. Kennedy's going to be out for a while, so we're going to take the briefcase off of him. And we're going to put it on Edge. Okay. A month later, Mr. Kennedy's back. It's like, I guess he wasn't that hurt. Magical.
He just didn't want to carry the briefcase because he wanted to make more money in TNA.
Oh, don't even get started on TNA. I went off about that last night. Anyway,
see what I did there?
Yeah, I saw what you did there. You know.
It's like, yeah, I riled you up. CM Punk won it twice.
That's true. CM Punk did win twice.
Yeah. So, you know, like I'm saying, I wouldn't have had a problem. But we'll see what happens. Maybe Sheamus will become the third person not to win the title.
But no, if you think about it, whenever Roman wins the belt, Sheamus would be a good contender for him. So they're setting it up for the future. I get it.
Yeah. How long do you figure Sheamus is going to hold that damn thing before he decides to cash it in?
November?
You think November?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Mace?
When's cashing going to occur? Sheamus, so probably after SummerSlam.
I shall repeat what I said. Be interesting if he cashed it in at SummerSlam.
Yeah, we didn't catch any of that.
There you go. Thing is, I'm doubting that that will happen because it seems like WWE is finally smartened up a little bit and they're keeping the titles on the champions longer lately than they have in the recent past, and we've bitched, moaned, and complained about.
Somewhat, yeah.
Maybe bringing back prestige to the titles. Thanks, Triple H.
Which is good.
Yeah. So, but, you know, like, sure, okay, Sheamus is probably guaranteed to win the title at some point, and nobody's going to care, and it's going to be short reign.
We'll see. I don't know if he'll actually get the belt, but he'll be a nice challenger.
Yeah, so, and that is your opening match. Up next is the Divas title match with Paige. This is not a surprise what happened.
No, this is the one King Kidd called the finish for.
Yeah, and he said Paige wins because he'll pin Brie, and I said, and Brie will get caught out, and it'll get overturned.
Hey, look at that. That's what exactly happened.
That's exactly what happened.
Man, they got to stop leaking these scripts.
Right?
Especially to us.
This match was so much better than the three-way they put on 2 weeks ago.
I was just going to say, this was really good. You know, like, we bitch and complain about these matches because,
You notice the missing component between last month's match and this month's match?
Yeah.
And how the quality changed?
Yeah, the one that's never on the same page as the other two.
Yeah. we should say before this match, Paige was talking about she's going to create change, and she ended it with, "For you, Dusty." That was nice.
Yeah, that was nice, but it was basically broadcasting, "I'm going to get screwed."
Pretty
much. Or a Dusty finish, if you will.
Yes. Exactly what we got was a Dusty finish because sure enough, Brie substituted for Nikki and went for the what was that, a small package?
Yeah.
And it got reversed into a small package by Paige for the three count. Brie immediately gets up, "Hey, no, I'm not Nikki." And what are we thinking? Where's the DQ?
I'm not Nikki. Look, I have a crotch tattoo. I have tissues in my bra.
Yeah. It's the best gift ever. It's like, there it is. Look, here's my crotch, here's my boobs. I don't have anything. See, I'm not her. It's awesome.
And, of course, no, it wasn't thrown out on a DQ. Even the announcers made mention of that. Then they went to break and came back and had an argument. Well, because a roll-up isn't any kind of an offensive maneuver, then it's not a DQ. Please.
You're stretching the line of offensive maneuver on that one.
That's stretching the that's bending the rule book into a pretzel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after that, she hit the forearmed her and hit the rack attack. Nikki Bella retains the title at that point. Really good match.
Well, there you go. At this point in time, if it's thrown out by DQ, Nikki still retains the title. We didn't need the finish we got.
Yeah, but it will. It's a disputed finish, and we'll get the rematch in 5 weeks, probably, if not tomorrow.
Would you really be happy if they did the rematch tomorrow on free TV?
I'd be okay with it. I'd be okay with it.
At this point, there's no more money to draw with it. Put it on free TV, for fuck's sake.
You know, I have to agree with Mace. They've gotten what they could have gotten out of this, and if they're not going to give Nikki a new opponent, then have her drop the belt tomorrow night.
If not tomorrow night, build it up build it up 1 week, say the championship match is next week, and actually give a Divas match a build for a week, and go from there. I'd be okay.
Remind me again, which company is this? And which show is it on?
This is a Monday Night Raw on Friday and Thursday Night SmackDown. WWE, yeah. Not NXT.
Yeah, no, it's WWE. This is my point to you all the time. Every time you point out the flaws in my predictive booking and telling you, well, this is what's going to happen. And it winds up happening. And I have to point out to you all the time. We're talking WWE logic.
Speaking of, Paige is going to need someone to have her back. My God, it's Charlotte.
You think they're going to bring Charlotte up? Is she ready?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Mace?
If it wasn't for the fact of, like, she went missing for a bit, I would have had my money on Sasha Banks.
Okay.
Coming up, being friends with Paige for a bit, then turning on her and teaming with the Bellas, just to keep the Bellas with the belt for some fucking unknown reason.
Yeah, but I'd rather see wait on Sasha just to give her the defined heel role instead of, oh, I turn my back on you, yada yada, that typical thing.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do, right?
But Charlotte has the built-in legacy where she can come out and the fans will know who she is and she'll be fine.
Yeah, I suppose. I guess I could see it. Maybe, possibly. We'll see what happens.
Because if you think about it, Paige has no other real friend on the main roster right now, so...
Yeah, well, what's the likelihood of, like, Charlotte comes in, watches Paige's back, Paige wins the title, Charlotte turns on her immediately and sets up an instant feud with Paige for the title?
You could. I want in, but you could.
That's one area of booking I would seriously look into, like, if I had the book. I don't know if you would do something like that, Mace, or if you would keep them as pals. Looking out for each other for a few months or weeks.
At this point, let's just bring people up so we have a division instead of, you know, three women. At this point, I have no idea on how to book the Divas division, just like the WWE. So they should send me money.
Yeah, I'm getting to the point where I don't think they know how to book it anymore either, just because of what's going on. But
Finley back in that bitch.
Yeah, no kidding. It was good when he was booking that shit. So, all right, now we get to have the match of the night. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. We get the IC title match instead.
Oh,
right,
my.
Back defending against Big Snow.
Oh, my God. This was as awful as I thought it was going to be.
Well, I wasn't, you know, here it is. I didn't go into this match expecting a goddamn thing. So I wasn't disappointed. And, in fact, parts of it had me entertained. I loved how... Ryback took all of that initial early offense and he was decimating Big Show. And I'm thinking, and I even said it, because Mace was talking about this when they were initially pushing Roman Reigns. Ryback was doing to Big Show exactly what they should have had Roman Reigns doing to Big Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they open this match and Ryback's like beating the absolute living shit out of the Big Show, I'm like, cool, squash match. This is how you do it. Let's get it over with. Then they actually tried to turn it into a match, and I'm like, oh, fuck this, and I just lost all attention.
Yeah. Like, there you go.
Like, you have Ryback doing an armbar submission. What? What? This is what we're doing? Okay.
Well, whoa. What did you have a problem with the armbar?
It was fine. It worked for the match. It was like, we're doing an armbar in a Ryback match. Okay. All right.
Well, you know, everybody bitches and complains that he's a bad wrestler and he's got two moves, you know. He's opening it up and he's introducing a third one.
Two more.
Like I said, don't have any expectations and you're going to be like, okay.
I didn't say this was bad. It was just, it lived up to the expectations. I thought it would be awful. It was awful.
Yeah, you see, I didn't even have any expectations. I didn't think it was going to be good. I didn't decide it was going to be bad or nothing. I just like let it happen.
And then the finish was Miz coming in and hitting Big Show with a microphone.
Now that part was stupid. I mean, I liked it when the attack when Miz got the beat down because, well, let's face it, I hate Miz and I love it when he gets beaten down. But Big Show winning by disqualification, thanks to the Miz.
Yes, Big Show won by disqualification. He was the winner of the match.
Yep. But the Miz also took the mic to Ryback as well on his way out.
Right. I'm just pointing out, Big Show won the match.
By DQ.
Yes, he won.
I know exactly what you're doing. Ryback.
The Big Show won a fucking match in 2015.
No, that's not what he's doing. He's pointing out that I said that whoever became for WTR Pick'em, I happen to think that whoever, and when it's a title match, whoever walks away after the match with the title, if you pick them, then that should count as your pick 'em win.
No.
And you say, well, that doesn't make sense because it's officially announced that Big Show won the match. So I'm thinking we might change the rules.
I'll fucking leave.
No, not for tonight, but like, moving forward.
No.
It's stupid, Tim.
The one who is announced as the winner is the winner.
Exactly.
Rock, you're stupid.
No, I'm not, Tim. Your rule
you're stupid, you big stupid head.
Apparently now I'm a troll.
You're a troll. You stupid head troll, stupid head.
I'm an internet troll now.
Anyway, there you go. Yeah, Big Show by DQ. So if you picked Ryback, haha. I got news for you. Everybody picked Ryback.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Now, kids, I'm not going to beat around the bush and wait until the rest of the pay-per-view to talk about it. I'm going to tell you right now, match of the night up next.
I guess.
It's okay, maybe it's subjective. I really enjoyed the main event, but I think this was a far superior match.
All right, well, I'll say it like this. this was the better match, better storytelling in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll all agree to that part.
Because I know that you really enjoyed the main event, and you probably think that was match of the night, and I think it's a damn close second. But to tell you the truth, after watching Kevin Owens and John Cena for, what, the second time?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The main event was, it comes in second for me. And yeah. Again, like I say, subjective. So this has my vote for match of the night.
It's like 1 and 1A. It's like you really can't go wrong either way.
Yeah, but... Jesus, this was a good match. And of course, like, everybody's excited that Kevin Owens is actually on the main roster doing shit. And those who haven't seen him as Kevin Steen wrestling in Ring of Honor and the Indies and everything else like that now know what this guy's all about.
I think the best way to describe this match, it wasn't a WWE match.
No, it wasn't. It was, think about the best indie show you could ever go to out there.
Okay.
The best indie shows have the best, you know, like there's always one match on the card that just blows you out of the water.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this one blew me out of the water.
Because they went for everything early. I was telling Lindsay, it was like, they're going through spots really, really quick here in this one. It's like, what do they have planned? Because they got, you know, they're going to get some time. It's like, we got AAs and power bombs and five knuckle shuffles early. It's like, what do we got? And then it was like, holy crap, that's what we got.
Yeah. And, oh my god.
Yeah, we had package power bombs, we had leg drops, we had moonsault mist. Yeah, it was just everything.
Yeah, and there's a couple moves that Cena should never try again.
Like the awkward Canadian destroyer.
Yes. That was, yeah. And who was it? Was it Kane Kittens who pointed it out that he actually performed the destroyer on a real Canadian?
It may have been him. I know I saw the comment, but I don't remember who said it.
The only people who should perform Canadian destroyer are Canadian wrestlers because they're the only ones who can do it right.
Actually, Goldust can actually do it pretty well.
Yeah, Dustin's pretty good at it. So,
but yeah, this was a really, really good match, and it's about to come on again. So, yeah, this was really, really good. They pulled out everything, close near falls throughout the entire match.
You see, and my point being, if there was only one match to make it worth $10 to buy the network, this would be the one match on this pay per view.
I know.
You know, pay for the entire month.
That's pretty good. I won't disagree on that one.
So,
like, one thing is, like, Michael Cole brought up Kevin Owens had nasal issues back down in NXT. It's like, what? Why is this a fact, and why are you bringing this up? Like,
because he got punched in the nose.
Okay, we're just discounting John Cena got a busted nose last week. It's like, no mention of that. But Kevin Owens has a history of nasal issues.
Yeah, he's got like a runny nose or some shit. I don't know.
His first match, he got bloodied, and that was about it. It's like history of nasal issues.
So, I don't know.
But this was kept you on the edge of your seat throughout the entire match.
Mm-hmm. It was absolutely fantastic, and of course, yeah, John Cena actually gets the win on this one.
Surprised a little bit.
No, I wasn't. I figured, you know, Cena's going to get this one. They'll have a rubber match. Now, the question is, here it is, you know, because, you know, they're gonna fight again, especially after Owens did what he did post-match.
Yeah.
Right? So, John Cena goes to shake Kevin Owens' hand. Kevin shakes. Cena grabs Owens' arm and lifts it up and says to him, you proved tonight that you belong, or something like that. But what did he say?
It's basically you belong here and yada yada yada, and well, they shook hands, raised arms, yay, happy times, and then Kevin Owens like, no, me gonna kick your ass now. That's what he did.
Yep. And so after the handshake and the arm up, he goes and delivers the boot to the gut and drops Cena,
tosses him out of the ring, powerbomb on the side of the ring,
and as he's leaving, he scoots up the U.S. Championship.
I thought he was actually going to take the belt with him. At least he thought it.
Well, I knew that he wasn't going to keep it because they did that with Ambrose.
Yeah, that's true. But I thought for a minute he was going to keep it. And, you know, someone had to get, because they kept throwing out the line. Cena keeps saying, someone has to take this from me. And I thought, well, he just took it. But no, they didn't go that far. He threw it back at him. And then Owen's laughing at Cena as he's being helped out was just, yeah, perfect.
No. So, yeah. So, really fun match. I'm looking forward to the third one. Yeah. I really am. I'm looking forward to a John Cena match.
The question is, when do you do it?
Well, you do it in 5 weeks.
Can't drag it to SummerSlam?
That's literally like 2 months away.
I know. It's just...
Nowadays, like, you know, 20 years ago, yes. Nowadays, no.
I know. It's like, SummerSlam would be the perfect place to do the finale of the feud.
Yeah.
But it's like, just a little too far off on it. Like,
well, yeah, here's the thing that I see. Basically, Kevin Owens is joining the main roster in very short order. The other person who has signed full-time with WWE, the main roster, happens to be Samoa Joe.
He signed with WWE full-time.
Yeah.
Never said
He's going to be brought onto the main roster very soon.
No, he's actually just he's going down to NXT first.
Yeah, but he's going to be brought to the main roster soon.
Soon.
It's not like he's going to be in NXT for 6 months.
We'll see. I think he could be.
So, SummerSlam this year, August something.
August something, yeah. Best way to put it, August something. Maybe 17th? Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
August,
it'll be on a Sunday night.
Either the 16th or the 23rd. One of those two dates.
Of those dates, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised. We'll get the rubber match in 5 weeks. Something is going to happen.
Don't we have Battleground in like 3-4 weeks?
That's in 5 weeks. Yes.
That's in 5 weeks. Okay.
Yeah, 5 weeks. So don't be surprised. Something happens with the rubber match. I don't care who wins at this point in time. And people saying if Kevin Owens loses to John Cena in the rubber match, it buggers him up. I disagree completely. It won't hurt Kevin Owens one bit if he loses the rubber match.
Well,
if that match is the same as the other two that we've had.
Well, the only wrinkle in that, I think he does need to win the rubber match, just for the simple fact he's probably dropping his belt here soon.
Yeah.
So having him lose his belt and then lose to Cena may not be the best.
Well, here's the thing. You would think that, but again, and Mace loves pointing this out because he's so accurate with it, this is WWE.
I understand it's WWE.
Do you speak logic, motherfucker? Because they don't.
Right. But sometimes I like to think logically. They've done a good job with Owen so far. I don't want to see it wasted with John.
Think logically all you want. It's not going to affect how they're going to book it.
I know, because it's the John Cena factor.
Well, not just that. They wind up making them look bad. Here's what my point is. They'll set it up so that even if Joe's not on the main roster by SummerSlam, okay, they'll set it up so that Joe and Kevin Owens have a match at SummerSlam.
Actually, Joe versus Owens is probably happening mid-August in NXT.
Yeah, with the rematch at SummerSlam.
Actually, technically, Joe versus Owens is in 3 days on NXT.
Technically.
Technically, that they're doing the first match in 3 days.
Yeah.
But
In NXT. But I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying this is what's going to happen. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if it does.
Okay.
Because, yes, I understand. You come with you doing something really stupid talking about WWE and bringing logic into it.
I know.
I'm playing both sides of the fence. I'm playing logic and I'm playing WWE.
You're playing the Cena card. I got it. I understand the Cena card. It ruins all the good plans usually because Cena
seen it before. We'll see it again.
I know. It's the same card they play over and over again. I just want them to play the different card.
You want.
Doesn't mean what I'm going to get. It's what I
doesn't
want.
Doesn't mean fuck all.
Yeah.
So that's all there is to it. If you guys didn't watch the replay, watch the pay-per-view, watch the replay just for this match. You've got all week.
Right. And here's the thing. You have no excuses. It's free on the WWE Network. Go watch it.
To new subscribers?
Then I want my money back if it's fucking free.
To new subscribers, it's free. Go watch it.
Well, yeah, there's a problem. You're not a new subscriber. You're a returning subscriber who got yourself all paid up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mainly because I can't be bothered going and clicking the right shit to cancel it again. I'll just pay the money.
You need to cancel it for 6 months before you can be considered a new subscriber, I think.
That's not going to happen. I might as well just pay them their friggin' money.
You know, that's just the way people vote. They're just too lazy to pay attention to what's going on. Yeah, whatever, click. So, yeah. So, that's that match. Dean Ambrose gets interviewed by Renee.
Yeah, it was a solid interview. He's talking about walking out the champion. You know, he's standing up for, you have to sometimes stand up for yourself. Simple promo, effective.
Yeah, and it worked. Mm-hmm. But before we get there, we got the tag title match. Day sucks.
This was a match.
This is a match I can't talk about because this is a match I did not see.
It was a match. It's the best way to put it. Wasn't anything special. Titus is strong. Spinebuster for the win. Primetime Players won the belts.
Yeah, Primetime Players, tag team champions, new tag team champions. Nace and I were always on the same page as far as, you know, WWE's booking the Primetime Players. You're just like, I'm surprised you didn't say more about them not winning any matches, and then all of a sudden they win the title. Oh, look, it's a title shot because they cut great promos in the back.
Yay. Hell, I wrote this on the website. You know, if we're going by this logic, Big Show goes away for 6 weeks, gets title shot. Bray Wyatt loses to The Undertaker. He should be the world champion. If we're going, hey, you lose a big match, you become a champion or get a title shot. So
you become number one contender.
You become number one contender at the very least. It's like, okay, that's logic for you. Primetime Players cut promos for 6 weeks. Hey!
I'm seriously thinking that we have to make a new rule where you're not allowed to use the word logic.
I'm not allowed to use the word logic, but I still think logic.
Well, yes and no, but you just bring up attempts at logic at the dumbest times, like when we're talking WWE.
I know I'm a bad fan. I think
because a lot of the time the shit just lines up and it seems like, well, they got lucky there, but it's not based in logic.
No, I just think things out.
You fecka. Anyway,
what?
So, I called you a fecka.
Okay.
You fecka. Anyway, yeah. So.
Oh, okay. So the best moment backstage was Kane gleefully walking up to Seth Rollins and talking about the future is history. The look on his face was awesome.
I've been looking forward to this for a long time now.
He was so gleeful about it. It was awesome.
And he was like, geez, Kane, are you actually cheering for Ambrose without actually cheering for Ambrose?
Pretty
or
much.
Are you cheering against?
I think he's just cheering against Seth Rollins.
Seth, I don't care who you're fighting. I want you to lose, bitch.
Pretty much.
That's what's going on with, like, Stanley Cup Finals and a lot of baseball games lately. People are cheering for one team to lose, not the other one to win.
And Hunter talked up Seth Rollins saying, you know, this is what you wanted. Get to stand on your own 2 feet. Show them. Show them why I chose you. Show them why you are the man. Show them why you're champion. Show them all.
I have to admit it. When Triple H did his pep talk, I was expecting him to say, get one for the Gipper. I really was.
Do it for Dusty!
So. But yeah, that was fun.
And then we had this main event. Ooh, this was good. Man, like.
Those poor ladders.
Yeah, poor ladders, poor Ambrose.
Chairs. Poor Spanish announce table. Poor monitor.
We'll get to the Spanish announce team in a minute.
Ambrose, how's your knee?
Yeah. Okay, so for years, the ladder matches become, flippy floppy spot, we're going to dive off big things. Who can dive highest? To dive from the highest height, whatever it is, however you want to put it. This one, shades of Sean and Razor, psychology-wise, we're working over body parts.
What did I say halfway through the match?
Psychology isn't dead.
Well, that was a paraphrase. Psychology ain't dead.
Close enough.
Because these kids in the ring were actually performing ring psychology.
Yeah.
Something that Mace and I are really, 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 I guess you could say we're anal about it.
And they did a really good job of it. Dean Ambrose was fantastic in this match. There's one spot he's climbing up the ropes. He's like trying to just throw his leg on the rope. Like, his leg is down. I'm just going to throw it on there. See if I can get up there. It was great. He was hobbling along the entire time, and you knew it would come into play in the entire match. It's like, he's a desperate man on one leg. He's going to do anything he can to get up that ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And multiple times, he was just, I think I can.
There were a couple of times, and it didn't last very long, but there were a couple of times Dean forgot to sell the knee.
But he quickly remembered, oh, yeah, my knee.
Yeah, at least he didn't bugger up and start limping on the wrong leg.
No, and I like how he did the one spot where he did the running knee into the gut. It was like, oh, yeah, that's my bad knee. Shouldn't have done that one. That's great. Dean Ambrose was fantastic. Seth Rollins was really good in this one.
Yeah. No, it was a very entertaining match. Having Rollins go over the top rope, landing in the middle of that ladder turned into a bridge.
Yeah, that had to hurt.
Yeah, you know, this time around you couldn't see the saw marks like you could at WrestleMania.
No, but you know they did a little bit something to it. That still doesn't mean it doesn't hurt.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm sure he'll feel that tomorrow.
They fought through the crowd. And then they do a spot where they go to the Spanish announce table. It's like, oh, we're going to dive over the announce table. And magically, one of the Spanish announcers was already in the crowd. It's like, oh, I'm just going to do my commentary from the crowd. That's all. It's like, okay, got a new commentary position in the crowd.
There you go. Boom.
Boom.
Safe that way.
We then had Angry Rollins at the end, where he just started beating the crap out of Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Powerbomb after powerbomb into things. Ooh.
Into the barricade.
like the first time he missed the barricade. Came like a foot short. Not even a foot short, a few inches short. It was like, ooh, that had to hurt a little bit. Because I think it would have been safer hitting the barricade than just hitting the floor hard.
Well, I'm sure Dean was very appreciative that he threw all those chairs onto the ladder before he did the running powerbomb onto the ladder.
Yeah. It's like, you son of a bitch.
Like, people are thinking, oh, that's going to really, really hurt. But the point of putting the chairs on the ladder, doing a powerbomb onto the ladder, is to make sure that it doesn't break your fucking back.
Yeah.
I want to say that pretty good with that, I think, yes.
Yeah, this was really good, a lot of drama, really good stuff, great storytelling.
It was fantastic, and I tell you, they did a damn good job of showing how close Dean is to actually winning the title for the finish of the match. They're both holding on to the title as they fall off the ladder.
And somehow Rollins escapes with it.
One bounce. He was one bounce away from winning the title from Rollins.
I read on Twitter, everyone's like, that's the finish? What a crappy finish this is. I can't believe they did that sort of finish. It's like, think about it.
People are idiots.
Yeah. This made both guys so strong at the end.
It was such a great finish.
It's like, Ambrose doesn't look weaker on the finish. He's actually elevated now based on this match and the finish.
Well, he looks even better because supposedly he's got a screwed up knee.
Yeah.
You know.
He put in that valiant effort.
It's all storyline, kids. Don't worry.
Yeah. He put in that valiant effort and just, it was a great finish. It was he's buried underneath all the ladders and chairs. Okay. He's going to eventually get up. So how are they going to do this finish without someone interfering? And it's like, we come down with the belt together. Okay.
Hey, we've actually got somebody in the chat room, Chase M262, that says they were actually at the pay-per-view tonight.
Awesome.
Think? What did you think of the pay-per-view, being there live?
Yeah, we'll get your comments in a second. Yeah, this was a great finish. I had no complaints with the finish, so there you go. It was a great finish.
That little pause there for me was me thinking, what am I going to bitch about with this finish? I got nothing. Absolutely nothing. Vince, what'd you think? Or were you...
At this point, I was so deep into fucking Bethesda, I didn't even realize there was something on TV.
Okay, yeah, that's... I thought that you were busy with Bethesda for the main event, but I wasn't sure.
Pretty much the later half of Owens, Cena, through to the end of the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And beyond, I was more wrapped up in what Bethesda was showing, because they were showing lots and lots of good shit.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have to tell us about that at some point in time. Maybe on Games Garage.
So Triple H came out, congratulated Seth Rollins, and then Rollins said, I told you so. No one can hang with me. I'm the best that this company has to offer. I'm the greatest champion in WWE history or all time, whatever it was.
Yeah, and then even JBL kind of sort of took a dig at that. Yeah, he's a great champion. Best of all time? I don't think so.
Because you know what you did, Rollins.
You set yourself up for the fall that's coming.
Because there's a beast that's lurking, and he wants your ass.
Fella.
No, not the fella.
I know. Okay. I didn't want to spoil it, but the suspension is going to get lifted.
And he's supposed to be there tomorrow night, so... Yeah. Rollins, run.
You're going to have to. Here's a great idea, and of course I can't take credit for it, but Chase M262, why don't you call in and give us a live report of the pay-per-view if you want? The phone number, 267-297-1397. Of course, if you have Skype, you can Skype Sir Rockin. We'll bring you on the program, and you can give us a quick synopsis how everybody reacted at the venue for the pay-per-view. It's up to you, of course. No pressure, but we're waiting for you to call. So call.
If you would like.
No pressure.
If you want to call.
Only if you want to, but we're waiting for you.
Let us know so we know what we're doing. Anyway, this was a really, really good show. I was more entertained with the show than the last couple WWE shows that they've put on. Because Chamber wasn't very good, except for Owen.
No, not completely
you
good.
You had two good matches, and that's about it. But from top to bottom, this was a really... good show.
It was a very solid effort. Like, let's face it, the last two pay-per-views just felt, you know, like you could call them rushed, but I would say phoned in.
Right, because there was a lot of dragging and stalling, and it just like with Chamber, the Chamber matches were just eh, and it killed the overall event because you had Owens and Cena was really good, and the main event was really good.
Yep.
But this show had a great pace to it. Didn't feel like it was you're just getting through a show. It's like, oh, we're already at the 10th. Oh, we're 3 hours. Okay, cool. Felt better than some Raws lately, where it feels like it drags. This was good. No real dragging point to it. Really good show.
Yeah, it had your typical up and down and on TV. It was quite enjoyable. But why don't we welcome our caller to WTR Sunday night? Hey, caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm the Chase M262.
Hey, welcome to WTR.
So the overall, what it was like live, was it was kind of interesting because we got in about 6:30 is when they opened up the doors, and it was kind of like a pretty much a dead period until about 7:20 is when Lillian came out, announced team, and then they said, you know, your first match is going to start in about 10 minutes. And I think it was a little bit surprising with the reaction that Barrett got. I actually was a bit surprised. He was actually very well over. He got a lot of chance. A lot of people were very happy to see. It was kind of one of those, like, you could tell it was a filler match to get people into the pay-per-view. That kind of set the tone of, you know, it was just trying to be a fun match. It's kind of sad to see what they're doing with Barrett and with the King of the Ring. I mean, I got to go to King of the Ring 2002 when it was in Columbus, and it was the last King of the Ring pay-per-view, and, you know, that was pretty sweet to see Brock Lesnar win it and what they're doing with it now. So that was kind of a bit – people were surprised at that first.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after that match happened, then they had more dead time. So people were kind of like antsy. And then they finally, you know, they came out and they did a great tribute. I mean, really, it was really neat to see it in person. All the wrestlers come out with the tribute. I mean, it was very emotional.
Yeah, what was the crowd's reaction to the whole tribute?
People loved it. I mean, people were chanting Dusty. It was one of those things where wrestling fans, young and old, appreciated the man. I got to go to NXT Friday night in Cleveland.
Yep.
So it was... For me, the experience in that whole weekend, you know, I took pretty much a week off, so, because, you know, they barely come to Ohio, and, you know, NXT itself in person is incredible. I mean, to go to the NXT event is a must-do.
So
a lot of those wrestlers gave their heart with near close to Dusty, and then the house show in Dayton yesterday, and it was all about Dusty. So you could tell that tonight was going to be special. Like, it was almost like they probably had a pre- and said, you know, let's go out there, let's do this for Dusty. And it was itself, you know, you could see like McMahon and Triple H and Stephanie, and they're all there together, and you could tell that how much this man meant to those people. I mean, it was, I think when Ric Flair goes, it will be the next one that will be like that. I don't think, if it was your typical 1980s jobber, it would have been like, oh, you know, here's that. But that man meant so much to that company that you could tell, and I think the fans knew too, That's why it felt very special.
Yeah, he's been the building block for the future. He's down in NXT all the time, so he's had his hands in that oven for a while, building them all up, and you knew it meant a lot to, especially a lot of people on the main roster now.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those where they really, you could tell, like, some of the matches throughout the night, if you watched it, it was very much Dusty Rhodes inspired, you know, the Dusty finishes and things like that. You could truly tell that you would have thought Dusty would have been proud, because a lot of that had his hand in those matches. And I mean, the first match, we'll start off with the first match. I mean, when Reigns came down, he actually got a lot of boos. It was surprising. He was about two sections he came down, the way that the Nationwide set up. So we were right in the corner where my seats were at. And then there's 109. He came around 110, 111, which is near the middle. And it was a lot of boos. And it was kind of surprising, because the night before in Dayton, he's over huge. So,
well, did he also get a lot of cheers with his entrance tonight, too?
He got a lot of cheers, too. It was one of, I would say, surprisingly, a lot of people love Neville. I mean, it was a huge pop for Neville. And it was kind of muffled, though. But, I mean, when Neville came out, it was huge. And Ziggler, too, because Ziggler is from Cleveland, which is 2 hours from Columbus. So it was you could tell the local guy got a lot of pop. And, I mean, really, they worked really well. And actually, at the house show yesterday, it was Neville and Kofi faced off. So you could kind of tell when you saw them a lot working with each other. They did a lot of the same moves that they did at the house show yesterday. So they had a lot of practice, so it was kind of neat to see what they were working on with a lot of their spots and things like that. Mm-hmm. So they have a great chemistry together, and I think that'd be a great rivalry if Kofi ever leaves New Day or they have a little feud with her. That would be, a really good one. The biggest surprise, though, I mean, nobody expected Bray Wyatt. I mean, that was, all of a sudden, the arena gets dark, and you see his Titantron do his, with his little, and I mean, it was a big pop. I mean, surprisingly, it was not as loud as people would think on the TV, but it was huge. I mean, it's a big Bray Wyatt crowd in Columbus, too. And everybody was shocked when he came out and did it. And when Sheamus won, I mean, I was shocked because I thought for sure it was going to be Reigns wins it, cashes in tonight, and then here comes Reigns' heel turn. Everybody's been waiting on it. And, I mean, honestly, and when I was talking to somebody else who's big in wrestling, they thought Sheamus winning it is one of those, the higher-ups believe in the guy. He's won everything but Money in the Bank. It's a genius move. And so kind of that kind of set the crowd. And so, people were kind of like, he didn't have any merchandise at all at the merchandise stands tonight. I noticed that. So I was kind of surprised that, they had Sheamus kind of winning it, considering that most of the merchandise was either Reigns, Cena, Ambrose, even Seth Rollins. So that was a bit surprising, I thought. But I liked the turn that they did. The women's match was actually surprisingly really good.
Yeah.
But I remember too, most people haven't really talked about Tough Enough coming up, but Paige is a trainer. Wins the tournament.
No, she's not. She's a judge. She's only a judge.
Yeah. Judge. So I was thinking, well, how would that come into play with her, winning the title? And it'd be kind of neat to have somebody with a title on the show to give the show more credibility. But at the same time, too, with, WWE's trying to get that taste of AJ Lee out of their mouth, so they're going to keep doing it. And early on Instagram, Sasha Banks kind of said Money in the Bank. So I thought, this would be kind of cool if right now Sasha Banks, Charlotte, a lot of the NXT girls are getting very big pops. They're getting so much better. And there's been this talk, people have said that about the, new women's, improved women's division, divas division. So I was hoping that, we'd get something coming out with, besides the Bella switcheroo, that somebody would cost Paige the match from NXT and start almost like a Kevin Owens, John Cena feud, but for the women's side.
Right.
And then the worst match, though, was the Intercontinental match. I've never seen a crowd so dead in my life. It was one of those... Nobody. I mean, honestly, I've never heard somebody get booed the way Big Show did. And I've been to probably 6-7 pay-per-views, countless Raw, SmackDowns, house shows, independent shows. I mean, the guy was severely hated. You could tell everybody was chanting, please retire. And even Ryback was getting booed. And people loved it when Miz interfered. I mean, he was getting thank you Miz cheers. It was such an embarrassment because it's, you know, the Intercontinental title is one of those titles that's that secondary. It's been held on the pedestal and it was kind of made a joke of tonight. It was like, you know, here's this title that, you know, everybody strives for. And, you know, right now, of course, they've made a big to-do about the U.S. title of John Cena. But the Intercontinental title was just joke match tonight. And it was bad. I mean, it was. And, I mean, it was luckily, I mean, that the pay-per-view was saved, though. I mean, Owens is huge in Ohio. And the reason why is because, you know, NXT has a big following here. He's wrestled a lot of independent federations up here in the Indies. The Ring of Honor comes around this area here, so he wrestled a lot in Ohio with Ring of Honor, a couple of independents, so when he's Kevin Steen. So a lot of people love him. And, you know, it was one of those that, and he's wrestled the last three nights in Ohio with NXT, and he had a huge reaction with the NXT shows in Cleveland. A buddy of mine was at the Columbus NXT show, and he said that the place just blew off the roof when he came out with Samoa Joe. And so a lot of people, I mean, it was truly, they work so well together. It's amazing to really watch them in person compared to what you see in TV. They are a perfect complement to each other. I never would have said that about John Cena. But John Cena, that was honestly, like, my 8-year-old loves John Cena. You know, he went tonight. It's kind of like the Kevin Owens like me. Kevin Owens is like me. My son's into John Cena like his son. So, you know, it was kind of like all the adults root for Kevin Owens, all the kids for John Cena. So, but I mean, honestly, it was watching Owens tonight. It was like he was back in the Ring of Honor days. And if you ever get to see him in Ring of Honor, he was incredible. So it was really, really, really good to see. I was a bit surprised, though, that they gave the win to Cena. And I don't know what your guys' thoughts on that were. You know, I figured, you know, he's coming in now. I thought, you know, he's trying to make him bigger. But they, you know, with the win, it kind of was a turn, I thought, because I just don't want them to do what they did with Rusev. You know, right. He wins the pay-per-view, and then all of a sudden he just becomes a jobber to Cena, and now he's just, you know, making 1980s song references to Lana now with Dolph Ziggler, and it's kind of sad, because here's this Rusev guy. He was such a big to-do, and now he's kind of a pitiful mess with his broken foot. So, you know, once he gets healthy again, are they going to, you know, turn him into, you know, a great Khali where he's a joke, or are they going to, you know, basically he comes in this maddening force and becomes like a Sheamus, what Sheamus did after his injury. So
you would hope he's more like a Sheamus than a Khali. So
I hope so. I mean, I like Rusev. You know, he's kind of unique and different the way he wrestles. To me, I enjoyed him. I thought, you know, he was that angry, you know, guy who was a technical, wrestled barefoot, kind of reminded me of that 1980s heel, but not with a goofy gimmicky, you know, with the Bulgarian brute, I you know, with the Lana Hot Russian, you know, kind of I guess, you know, they're trying to go with something different with him, but I just like the way he is. He's a good heel. I don't think he's a main event heel. I think he's more of that mid-card heel. That's the problem that right now I think WWE is in. They don't have a second true heel with Seth Rollins right now. Because, I mean, Kane's 40-something years old.
Well,
they don't have that, you know, with back in the, I would say, the 90s and even early 2000s with the second heel for a title.
Yeah, well, they're trying to do Owens in that way. And, you know, even though the adult fans like Kevin Owens more, he's becoming that second heel.
Yeah, and you could kind of tell that, but at the same time, too, it's so hard to do that right now with Owens because he's so feared right now that I think WWE is trying to push him where I think it's kind of that NXT is a good thing, but a bad thing, you know, because people saw him on NXT and they love him. So the NXT crowd is now rooting for him and he's kind of that, you know, you're not sure what to, you know, you want to root for him, you know, I root for him. You know, but he's definitely, if you know, the young kid crowd, oh, he's absolutely a perfect heel for your 8 to 15-year-old crowd. I mean, he's definitely that second heel. So I'm kind of really curious to see how he develops more into the heel role. I love what they're doing, you know, with Owens. I love what, you know, the way he's like, and he's just, you know. So I'm kind of curious to see what happens.
Right.
I was hoping that he would win tonight just because of the fact that, you know, he's probably going to lose on July 4th to Finn Balor.
Exactly.
So it's kind of that obvious that you just didn't want him to lose two really big matches coming up. So that was a bit, I mean, for me, it was a letdown. You know, my son loved it because, you know, Cena is his favorite, you know, and so, you know, he goes home happy. I don't have to, you know, listen to his mom complain to me about, well, why, you know, why did you cry and you're upset? Cena lost. I'm like, I don't know, you know.
Right.
And Vince again.
Awesome.
So.
Yeah, that's great.
So I will, and then, so, you know, you get an emotional high of this match, and then you get to the tag match. And the tag match was, it was, people were surprised, you know, when everybody, I grew up in Columbus, I live in Cleveland now. So everybody in Columbus loves Ohio State. So, of course, you know, everybody now hates Screaming New Day. I love the gimmick. I think it's a fabulous gimmick. What they're doing is perfect. The fact that they lost their title so fast shocks me, because right now with the Usos out and with Tyson Kidd out, the tag team division is, you know, the Ascension's kind of a joke. Lucha Dragons aren't ready yet. Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, you're not sure what you want to do with them. I think they're funny, but it feels like that you're on this Twitter battle now that all of a sudden the Team 3D or Dudley Boy's going to come back and start feuding with Eric Rowan, you know, and then, so it's kind of like you're kind of not sure what's going to happen. So I was a bit surprised that the primetime players won. I mean, really, it was one of those, it was a quick match, I thought. It was like, really, that was it? There was no drama. You know, I thought maybe Kofi would all of a sudden come out and, you know, cheat for them. And it was one of those, I think, you know, Xavier Woods is a perfect manager for him. But
yes.
I feel like if they would have had Kofi there with Big E, it would have worked out a little bit better. Because I don't think Big E and Xavier really gel in the ring compared to what, you know, Kofi and Xavier Woods or Big E and Kofi. I feel like those two gel better than what Big E and Woods did. But that's, I think, the reason why they were yesterday wrestling in their house show, was to get them really used to wrestling together, knowing that they're going to go into that.
Right.
But it was one of those things, too. I think, you know, the primetime players had, you know, they were near the finish, their elimination chamber, and, you know, they've been giving these great, you know, promos and funny promos, and it's one of those things for the kids that they can enjoy. And you know, somebody put on Twitter tonight that, you know, Darren Young is the first openly homosexual, I would say, athlete or wrestler to win the title belt. And I was thinking, well, you know, I mentioned somebody, wasn't Pat Patterson the first or Chris Canyon, but he's the first one who's during his wrestling career. So,
yeah.
I mean, in a kind of a way, I guess, I don't think WWE will use it, but, I mean, you could almost promote, hey, look, we've got, you know, our first openly gay athlete,
right,
superstar to win a title.
Yeah, we have.
And I mean, you can kind of go before that, but at the same time, too, I don't think they'll push that. But I mean, it was a nice change of pace, and I mean, I'll be curious to see what they do with PTP. I think, you know, I would have waited till SummerSlam to change the titles. I think New Day losing it so soon, you know, I think hurts the team now. You know, I'll be curious to see what happens with Raw tomorrow night. I don't think there's really a true second scene after New Day, though, to really promote it. I think, you know, unless they do this gimmick with, you know, Mandel and Axel Mania, but even then, I think they're just a comedic duo that, you know, they don't, WWE has no idea what to do with them yet, you know, as singles wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just together until they figure out something. You know, because I think Standout could be a good wrestler if he's back to his regular gimmick, but it's once again, it's one of those things you don't know what they're thinking and what booking's thinking.
Right.
You know, now with the death now with Dusty, maybe Cody comes back to being Cody or Stardust and Goldust reunite. And, you know, they do what happened when Hawk died from the Road Warriors and, you know, they win the tag team title somehow and dedicates their dad, like what happened with, when Heidenreich and, Animal won the tag titles back in, I think it was what, 03 or something like that?
Something like that.
So it was something like that, yeah. And then the main event, surprisingly, it was very quiet. There was not a lot of Let's Go Ambrose chants. It was very different. It was a very, I thought, in person, it was very slow. Compared to talking to a couple of friends of mine who watched on TV, they thought it was a lot faster pace. But to me, in person, they felt like they were going slow, and he was, you know, Ambrose was being worked over methodically, and you could just tell that, you know, and they have worked together, so you could kind of detect, you know, what the spots that they were going to do and things like that and the chairs and the ladders and watching, you know, them, you know, especially go near our section because they were right in front of the section that we were sitting at. well, for most of the fight when they were in the stand, you know, the stands area. So you could kind of tell that, you know, they have good chemistry together. They're really fun to watch wrestle together. I think Rollins and Ambrose is a much better combo than a Rollins versus Reigns.
I would agree. I would agree with you on that one.
Because I think then the other thing, too, is that Ambrose and Rollins actually wrestled against each other in the entrance.
Right.
They did the CZW, and I know AIW and a couple others. So they have a good history with each other. But I thought overall, it was a lot of the, you know, the kids in our section, it was kind of funny. A lot of them were actually kind of bored. Or a lot of dogs were like, oh, this is kind of cool to watch, you know. And the high spots with the ladders and the chairs and the moves there were very interesting and very much a Dean Ambrose type CZW that you could do with a WWE, PG rating.
Right.
The finish, everybody, though, was confused. That was the most interesting thing in person because a lot of people, when they fell down, and, you know, you see Ambrose grab the, or you see Ambrose grab it, and then you see Rollins grab it, and then Rollins ended up pulling it in from Ambrose. A lot of people were kind of shocked, like, what happened? Is it a draw? Is it, you know, the Rollins won it cleanly? What's the story here? And then they announced, you know, Rollins, and I mean, people were looking at each other like, that was different, you know, and I don't think anybody expected that. And it was really one of those that left you clamoring for more, like, you know, can you give me three more minutes of, you know, like, you're hoping somebody would come out and say, well, it looked like it was a tie when you guys both went down. So, you know, you don't really want to do a draw, wrestle for three more minutes now for a pin or whatever. It was really kind of, you know, people walked away like, okay, that was a bit surprising, like, I kind of figured Ambrose wasn't going to win. You kind of figured because it would look bad if Rollins lost. But at the same time, too, had Reigns won, I think Reigns would have cashed in tonight, whereas Sheamus wasn't going to cash in tonight had Ambrose won.
Right.
And so it was one of those, I think, once the first, that's why the first event really set the tone. And I think, you know, tonight with the main event was one of those things now. And after, you know, the show went off, they asked Ambrose and he said, you know, life's not fair, but, you know, I got my title ripped away. And it was one of those things where they kind of like teased him more that he's going to wrestle again. And, you know, when they announced the Bray Wyatt versus Reigns match at Battleground, nobody could hear him, but they just showed it on the main screen of, oh, this is happening at Battleground. So it was one of those things that you kind of could tell that they were kind of teasing about Battleground, you know, another match, but it's one of those things that, you know, well, what do you do now? You've done a ladder match, you know, do you do a no DQ match with these two? And that's why some people, there's people chanting for Lesnar tonight, and I thought, well, how funny would it be if Lesnar comes out and, you know, F5's Rollins, Ambrose wins the title, and then all of a sudden Sheamus comes out, catches it, and now you have your Sheamus versus Ambrose feud going on. But you could kind of tell with the Sheamus Randy Orton feud the way it's been going. So you gotta wonder now, Randy Orton, Sheamus is gonna go to their background or Battleground and SummerSlam. It left literally like 25 different possibilities.
Oh yeah, they've opened.
Even with the main event, everybody thought the main event was great. I thought it was good. I thought it could have been better. I thought it was too long. I thought they should have added another match. The problem is, you know, you don't really see, like, the tag team turmoils. I would have thought it would have been great to see, you know, them put, like, the Ascension, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, people in, like, a tag team match, the guys who weren't wrestling tonight, you know, and a tag team match to determine the next number one contenders for the tag team title. I mean, you could have easily filled another 20 minutes in, because I thought the main event was very long and drawn out, and it kind of, a lot of people kind of turned their attention away. And that's why you don't see Iron Man matches anymore. Honestly, I think that's the problem, is that people in attention span, give them 25 minutes of good wrestling and they're fine. And that's the thing you could kind of tell, if people are like, oh man, this main event's going forever. And I mean, it was kind of, you know, watching these two before, I was like, okay, yeah, you can tell they're working over, but I thought the main event probably should have been cut off by 10 more minutes. You could have easily filled it, you know, a short 8 to 10 minute match, or even put a squash match or something like that in there. I thought they kind of undersold on the card. You could have easily brought in, you know, another match. I don't think they built up this pay-per-view as well as they should have. And that's why I think Elimination Chamber actually killed this pay-per-view. I mean, Elimination Chamber was very well done. And then you, 2 weeks later, you have this pay-per-view and you're like, oh, now we got to throw some matches together. And that's why I like the Big Show first Ryback pay-per-view match was so terrible. Cause they're like, oh, we got to figure out, put somebody in with Ryback. Oh, let's put the Big Show in. So that to me, it was, I would have gave it about a 5 out of 10 tonight on the pay-per-view. You know, like the Money in the Bank ladder match was much better than the one I saw at WrestleMania 23. I thought, you know, Neville's spectacular live. You want them to get a title. You know, if they had like a European title right now or, you know, something, the television title, he'd be perfect for that. Or, you know, even, you know, so I'd be curious to see what happens. And I'm kind of curious to see what the Cena Owens do tomorrow night is, you know, you could see that, you know, Cena's hurt. He puts his U.S. title on the line and somebody comes out of nowhere and wins the U.S. title, you know, and see what they do with that because it's kind of useless right now with, this, you know, and, you know, with Owens isn't going to give up his NXT title unless he wins the U.S. title from Cena and then they battle over the U.S. title because he was holding that tonight. And, you know, then you have the NXT title become secondary. So it's kind of weird what they're going to do now with the U.S. title, too, with those two. Because I don't know if they showed it on camera or not, but it literally, he was, like, really holding the U.S. title, you know, showing it around, like, oh, look at me, I've got this U.S. title, you know, after he powerbombed Cena on the apron. And it was kind of like people are like, oh, yes, you know, this is the U.S. title holder that people want, you know, is this guy who is almost, he could almost do his Bret Hart anti-American thing pretty soon here because he's Canadian. That'd be a perfect thing, you know, it'd be back to 1996 again with Bret Hart and, you know, Owen Hart and the Canadian thing, the Hart Foundation type. So. But that was just some thoughts that I had.
Great thoughts. Thank you for calling in and giving your thoughts. I'm surprised it was only 5 out of 10, but I can see where you're coming from on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was your match of the night?
So the match of the night, hands down, was Cena versus Owens. Honestly, I don't think I've ever seen Cena wrestle like that. And I've seen him wrestle in person a lot, and yeah. I thought for sure those two stole the show. They work so well together. I mean, it really, I think tonight showed people too that Owens is a really good wrestler, not just some big beefy, you know, guy who, you know, is this, you know, out of shape guy. And I think really it gave fans a little bit more respect who aren't Cena fans, a little bit more respect than Cena. I thought, you know, those two, I mean, they did a great job at Elimination Chamber and this Money in Bank. It's, you gotta wonder what happens next between these two. You don't want Owens to lose again.
Yeah.
So, you know, does this happen that he takes a title and Cena feuds with somebody else? That's the next pay-per-view. But it was amazing. I mean, people were on the edge of their seat every time a two count happened. It was, everybody was clamoring and they all stood at the end of the finish and just applauded. Everybody was just in love with it. I mean, Cena fans, Owens fans, I mean, even the kids who weren't even Owens fans were like, wow, this is a heck of a match. This is unbelievable. It was, I mean, just truly great to see, though, what they did with those two and how they had that match together. Because part of me was worried that, oh, they're going to have another disqualification match. You know, we just saw a terrible finish. You know, are they going to do it where Cena gets mad and gets himself DQ'd, or if Owens going to get mad and DQ'd and then say, okay, I want this match, such and such, no DQ, because I want to end you. So it was good that they had a clean finish. I would say that would be the match of the night. Second, of course, with the Money in the Bank. The worst match is the IC match. I mean, it seriously could go down as the worst matches in wrestling history. I wish that would get eliminated from my memory. I was just grossed out by it. I literally was like, I mean, it's sad because, you know, you watch these old WCWs and these old WWFs of the Big Show, and he's dominating. I mean, it's sad now when he has this goofy punch as his finishing move. I mean, nobody used to get out of the choke slam, and now the choke slam is kind of like the DDT. Oh, you can kick out from it now.
Right.
So, but I thought, you know, the crowd was into it. I mean, it was sold out. It was the largest pay-per-view in the three pay-per-views Columbus has ever hosted. I've been to all three. I would say King of the Ring was second of packed, and then Bad Blood was third. With the Hell in a Cell of all matches, you would have thought that would have been, you know, that was in the key when that was when the Triple H versus Shawn Michaels era when they were feuding. But It was, you know, a great crowd tonight, and especially because the Cavs are playing. You know, Cleveland is, like I said, 2 hours away. Game 5 of the NBA Finals. So part of me was a little bit, you know, it was a lot of Cavs jerseys on the crowd. So I was kind of curious to see how people would be, you know, with the pay-per-view tonight. So you kind of thought, you know, WWE would bring the house down, especially because they're in Cleveland all night. Mm-hmm. You know, you would have thought, you know, this is one of those they would have had all hands on deck, thrown every card out there to keep the viewership going. But it seemed like a lot of the crowd was in mixed in the match. You know, there are some matches that you could kind of tell they're like, and then there are some matches that they were like, you know, like I said, the Owens match was, after that match, they probably could have ended it right there and people would have gone home happy. It was that good. I don't think I've seen a match like that in a long time of, you know, how well they did. It left you like, you felt complete. It was like one of those, like, I don't need to see anymore. I saw everything I need to see. Yeah, it was a disappointing Owens loss. Yes. But at the same time, too, it was one of those that those guys gave everything. Mm. And it was that you could tell that Cena literally said, you know, kind of was, I think, kind of officially getting over that hump of people who didn't like him. But he still has that hatred towards the people who are those enthusiasts. And you had your Owens fans who thought, you know what, this guy is awesome. Let's hope he stays forever. And, I mean, I, for one, have always been an Owens fan, even when he was Kevin Steen. And I thought tonight was probably his probably top three best matches he's ever done, even his Ring of Honor days with Sami Zayn. It was that good. I couldn't believe it, you know, how well he did. I mean, he sold moves tonight. He didn't botch one move, I thought, tonight. I thought everything that they did was perfect. And it was close to a dang near perfect match. I would have gave it a 9 out of 10. I mean, minus the finish. If there's a match better than that tonight, it's gotta be, you know, near perfect 10. They gotta have, you know, one of those, you know, classic, you know, Shawn Michaels, you know, Razor Ramon ladder match type events again. It was that good. I'll give them credit, you know, so. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, with what's going to happen now with, you know, the Battleground, they've kind of got some stuff going into SummerSlam. You know, they announced the Raw. They're not coming back to Columbus until January next year. So they kind of, like, gave the fans kind of like, ooh, what's going to keep happening? We can't wait to come back. And there's some good teasers. I really think Battleground could be a really good pay-per-view, especially with the Reigns, Bray Wyatt. I'm so glad they're finally going to do something with Bray Wyatt. I mean, he should have been in an elimination match for the Intercontinental title, not Mark Henry. Mm-hmm. He's got incredible mic skills. He's a great wrestler.
Yep. You've got to make sure that you tune in the week before Battleground so you can play Pick'em with us and catch our preview of that upcoming pay-per-view.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely. That being said, I want to thank you very much for calling in and giving us a live report from the pay-per-view.
Hey, not a problem. Yeah, I'm excited. We got tomorrow night. It's up in where I live now in Cleveland. So it's one of those, hey, why not go to Raw, you know, your home. So it's a vacation week. Might as well enjoy it. So kind of curious to see what's going to happen tomorrow night. I think, you know, with some of the teasers, and I think it's going to be, you know, a good lead-in. And you know, I'm really kind of curious to see the direction they continue to do with the tease with the, you know, the J&J security and the, you know, the corporation. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, that'll be an interesting angle, definitely. Once again, we got to move on. We're way over time.
Hey, no worries. I totally understand. Thanks, guys. I appreciate, you know, having me on. So. No,
absolutely. Thanks again for calling in. And feel free to call in, you know, next time we do a show.
Definitely will do.
All right. Sounds good. Okay, take care. Have a good
night. All right, guys. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And that was Kai calls himself Chase M262 in the chat room, giving us a live report. And see, told you it was match of the night.
Shut up, Tim.
No. That being said, let's like really quickly take a look at this because we've got some confusion here with WTR Pick'em.
Yeah, we do. Many people are tied, so...
Many people are tied for the win. At number one is Mace, doesn't get to win because he's part of a sorry Mace. At number two, tell me who 8-Ball is.
It's Magic 8-Ball, Tim.
Oh, the Magic 8-Ball. Right, okay. Here I'm thinking, oh, it's some kind of like dude with street cred or wannabe street cred. I don't know. But anyway, your Magic fucking 8-Ball went 3-4.
I know.
Chris was 3-4 and Rob was 3-4. Now, of the listeners, the number one listed listener is somebody named Sheila P at 3-4. However, she's tied with Starscream Josh. William, how do you pronounce that last name? Robles?
And Chris is a listener, too.
Chris is a listener? I thought Chris was part of the thing.
That's Chris Pierce. He's a listener.
Oh, okay. That's Pierce, man. Yeah, Pierce. You're as a listener, you're tied with everybody else at 3-4 at the top spot. Number 8 happens to be Mark Hanatz, tied with me at 2-5. Ali and Omega only, you know, picked 3 matches because whatever. But he only got 2 right. Jersey Girl, I'm getting more disappointed with you all the time. Tying in 12th spot with Lindsay Diddy Rock. You suck. And Subway in 12th spot. 17th spot is Michael. 1-5. King Kittens, you suck even worse. You suck the most, dude. So here it is. We've got Chris Pierce, Sheila P., Starscream Josh, William Robles. We got 4 people. I've only got 1 thing.
So we got to divide it into 4.
You can't. That won't work.
No. So those 4 people. Okay, here's what we're going to do.
Let's take a look at their picks, right?
No, what we're going to do is take those 4 people. Those 4 people will go into the next pick'em. Mm-hmm. We'll put together both scores. Whoever comes out with the most.
Oh. Okay. So whoever has, it's like a 2-game total. Whoever has the most points after 2 games.
Between those 4 people. Yeah. We'll do it that way.
No? Well, okay. And then I've got a prize for SummerSlam to give away.
Okay.
Then. So that'll work out that way.
Yeah. There you go. So, Chris, Sheila, Starscream, John, Josh, someone.
Whatever. Starscream.
Starscream, because somebody can't write names correctly. And William.
Just can't figure shit out. He sees SH and thinks it's HN. But that's what happens when you don't take a fucking day off for a year. There it is.
There you go.
I'm still waiting for us to be called assholes. That hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened. Not yet.
Not yet. Not tonight. Or and no fuck yous either. Not yet.
Yeah. Whoever Starscream John is went 3-4.
Yeah.
You read the chat.
I know.
Yeah. Don't worry, Josh. We know. We're not picking on you. We're picking on King Kittens because he's the fucker that put it together.
Yeah.
There it is. I hate you both. I was waiting. We got him. Oh, and for some reason, Josh is calling us assholes. So I think...
is he disqualified now?
I think Josh should be disqualified for calling us assholes because we were picking on King Kittens and not him.
Yeah, I know.
So if he types in sorry, then we won't disqualify him if he says sorry in the chat room. Meanwhile, I'm sipping on a frosty cold one. That being said, all right, we're going to do that. Basically, everybody, it's a push. Those of you who tied, we're going to do a – there we go. We got the story. I've been waiting for that. Okay, Josh, you're forgiven. You go ahead and pick on King Kittens. We're going to wrap this up. We're way over time. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Live Talk Radio Network. Next week, isn't that Father's Day?
Yeah.
Don't expect me, okay?
Okay.
I'm just telling you, Father's Day, don't expect me. That being said, the usual cast of suspects will be taking over the asylum next week at our regular time, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain Time. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's right after wrestling. You know, the Raw Post Show.
Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, Thursday night, it's the multi-time award-winning The Rock with your host, Lindsay Ward. I mean, she's got two awards, that is. What'd you think? Get your minds out of the gutter, you fuckers.
We have more than two awards. Anyway, yeah, check out The Rock Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk NXT. We'll talk SmackDown. We'll talk the pay-per-view special event, whatever you want to call it. All in the show. Go back and listen to our interview with the one and only, the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, that we recorded last week. So check it out, RockRadioShow.com. It's awesome. It's Christopher Daniels. He talks comic book. He talks to comic book movies. He talks wrestling. You name it. We talk to him about it. The Rock, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheRock. Facebook.com/WTRTheRock. Check out RackRadioShow.com and subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/WTRTheRack.
There you go, yeah. And, of course, Saturday Night Midnight is sure as close as they can get to it. It's another edition of Cigarette Boots and Bandanas.
After we play Cards Against Humanity, we do CB Radio The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR, Facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. Use the hashtag Blame Rob for celebrity deaths. And check out CBRadioLive.com.
There it is. Follow me, yours truly, at Flames Forums on Twitter or at Toriel Tim on the Twitter machines. Don't bother with Facebook because I've got no use for it right now. Mace, you're on the Twitter machine.
Yes, I'm on the Twitter machine. You can follow me at the Mace Thing. You can also go and check out youtube.com/WTR Games Garage, where I will be hyping the fuck out over the E3 announcements. Gotta start doing two videos straight after this about Nintendo and Bethesda, so that's where you'll get to hear all about that. Other than that, I don't know. Send a smoke signal and I might send one back.
There you go. Yeah, and as always, you can follow Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter machines, at Wild Talk Radio. You know, if you're really digging that Facebook thing, it's a fad. It won't last. But you can go to facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network or facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. There are two pages.
There's two pages. Make sure you go follow Omega on Twitter, who is not here tonight. Because he's at MetroCon, he's been posting stuff all weekend long at TJ Omega. And you check out his YouTube channel, youtube.com/TJ Omega. A lot of videos from MetroCon coming here in the next few weeks because he's had a fun time. So check it all out. And also get us on TuneIn, Stitcher, and iTunes. Search Wild Talk Radio Network.
That said, I think we're done.
Yeah.
Go to bed. It's late. Get off my lawn. I haven't said that in a year.
God, that's...
Shut up. Good night, everybody.
I walk from my machine. I walk from my machine.
WildTalkRadio.com.